We as Catholics look to the Old Testament as, in many ways, prefiguring the life of Jesus Christ. We saw that today in our responsorial psalm, where we sang, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living," that sense of being with the Lord, walking with him now in the land of the living and ultimately in eternal life. And we do that first and foremost through our baptism, the gateway to the other sacraments. And as you know, at this Mass, we will celebrate once again a baptism of Vincent Maximilian. And so I thought, in light of that psalm and the prefiguring of this life in Christ, I thought it'd be important to maybe speak a little bit about some of the signs and symbols that we use in baptism. Signs and symbols that reflect this psalm of precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones, of dying to sin. To you I will offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, making sacrifices as disciples of the Lord. And then in the courts of the house of the Lord, I will fulfill my vows, of fulfilling the promises that we make in baptism, which leads us to a happiness and a peace in this life that is real and genuine and deep, that again leads to happiness in eternal life. And again, we see that all throughout the baptismal ritual. It began in the back of our cathedral this morning when I asked Vincent's parents, "What name do you give your child?" "Vincent Maximilian Kolbe." There's a tradition of ours that parents choose names for their children that reflect the life of some saint. So Vincent Maximilian is a pretty powerful name. Someone, two saints that he will have in his life to study and to reflect upon, and hopefully to imitate some of the virtues of their life as he lives out his Christian life. It's important how we name our children. Now, in saying that, I have to admit, my parents didn't get that memo because I was named after a character from Bewitched. So, and I remember in theology, I was in graduate school in Washington, D.C., and we had this old Dominican priest who was teaching the sacrament of penance to us, and he's beginning of the semester, he's going down the list of calling out all the seminarians: Thomas, Robert, Matthew, James, Darren. And he stops and he looks up to Darren. He said, "What kind of name is that?" I said, "I don't know." He says, "Is it a saint's name?" I said, "No, Father, it's not." He said, "Well, maybe someday it will be. John," and then he goes on down the list. And really, I mean, isn't that the truth? That for all of us, whether we are named after a saint or a character from Bewitched, all of us, because of our baptism, are called to live our lives in such a way that the peace and the joy that we find in this life leads us to the life which is to come. So that one day we hope, and I hope you hope with me, that there will be a Darren saint in heaven. That's our goal, to live our life here and now with the hope and the promise of eternal life. And we see that at the very beginning of the baptismal ritual. We know that the primary symbol of baptism is water. John the Baptist used water, as Jesus did in baptizing others. And our Lord no doubt chose water instead of, you know, milk or some other substance. Chose water as the symbol for baptism because of the cleansing power of water, the life-giving power of water. Water is a symbol of divine life and grace and new birth and growth and deliverance and cleansing. Think about the gallons and gallons and gallons of water that you use every single day. beginning with showering and drinking and cleaning and cooking and watering plants and the lawn and the garden. We have to have water for life. Again, which is probably why Jesus chose it as the primary symbol of this sacrament, to give us new life in Him. But we also know, and this is the paradox, that water is and can be also a symbol for death. We think about tsunamis or great floods in which there is destruction and drowning and devastation. How does that fit into baptism? It fits into baptism because you and I are called throughout our lives, from our baptism until the day we take our last breath, we're called to struggle and to strive to die to sin, to destroy the power of evil, to let the cleansing waters of baptism be a destructive force against the power of evil and sin in our lives, so that we die to sin and rise to new life. Another symbol that we use in baptism is oil. And there are two kinds of oil that we use in baptism. One is the oil of catechumens, and it's used after a prayer of exorcism and applied to the chest of the infant. It reflects our hope that this child would be protected from Satan. We know that there are many dangers and evils that our kids have to face today. Evils and dangers that, you know, I didn't have to face. We think of things like school violence and internet pornography and bullying and disrespect for human life and a growing kind of sense of secularism, physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect. The oil of catechumens gives the strength and the power that comes from Christ, our Savior, to that child. And it was adopted from the earliest days of the church as an ancient symbol that was borrowed from gladiators or athletes in the arena. Before they would engage one another, they would oil themselves down from head to toe. Why? So that when their opponent grabbed onto them, they'd be grabbing onto an oily arm and be able to slip away very easily. And the church in her wisdom said, aha, what a beautiful symbol for what our hope and our prayer is for this child, to be able to slip away through the power of Almighty God and His Son Jesus Christ, to slip away from the power of sin and evil, to protect him throughout his life. Another symbol of baptism is the baptismal garment. After baptism, the newly baptized puts on a white garment as an outward sign of that person's new dignity as a child of God, as a Christian. It also signifies that the person has become a new creation and clothed with Christ, so that from that moment on, again, till that person takes his or her last breath, their challenge is to live their life for Christ and to experience the peace and joy and contentment that comes from that kind of life. And when that person dies, that person's body is brought to the church. And what happens? We drape it with a pall, that huge white cloth that serves as a reminder that many years ago, this person's body was washed in the waters of baptism. This person became a temple of the Holy Spirit. And from baptism to death, this person lived a life in Christ. We use candles in baptism. The baptismal candle, the small little candle, which I'll give to Vincent's parents today, is lit from the Easter candle. This Easter candle was blessed by Bishop Daly last Easter in the great Easter fire and processed in here in the cathedral. It is a symbol of the risen Lord Jesus. And that candle that we light from the light coming from the risen Lord Jesus is meant to represent the light that should guide all of the baptized, the light of Christ, kept burning brightly through regular participation in the sacramental life of the Church. That flame of the Easter candle is a symbol for the risen Lord, to be kept burning in the life of the child, so that the power of the Holy Spirit might regularly be stirred into a strong flame. The baptismal font has symbolic value. In ancient cathedrals in Europe, like, for example, St. Mark's in Venice, there's the cathedral, and then there's a plaza out front, and across the plaza there's this massive building. And inside that building is the baptismal font, the baptistry. Very common to have in European cathedrals the baptistry built outside at the entrance of the cathedral. In fact, here at our cathedral, I suspect that when this was built, that area out here, that octagonal area, was the baptistry. That's my suspicion. Because it was common to have the baptismal font built in a special building, symbolizing that baptism is the gateway to the other sacraments. So you pass through baptism to receive Eucharist and anointing and holy matrimony and holy orders. That it is through baptism that we receive the other sacraments. And so an appropriate place for that is at the entrance, whether outside or at the entrance to the cathedral. Which begs the question, why is our baptismal font over here? And the profound answer is, I don't know. So the plan is to move our baptismal font to the entrance of the cathedral, to move this font to the entrance of our cathedral. So as people come in and dip their hands in the holy water, they are reminded of the sacrament of baptism as, again, the gateway to the other sacraments. The baptismal font was also seen in the ancient writings of the Church as a womb, W-O-M-B, as a womb. Why? What comes from a womb? New life, birth. And so today we'll witness the birth of a new child of God who will be born from the waters of this font. I will use a golden seashell in baptizing today. A seashell is sometimes used to cup and pour out the water during the baptism. And the reason for that, it was one of the most common symbols of St. James, who, as tradition would have it, used a seashell that he no doubt got along the shore to baptize his converts in Spain. On the baptismal garment that the cathedral gives to new infants, there's a chyro. The chyro is the symbol that's in the front of our cathedral altar. The chyro is the first two letters in Greek for Christos, which is obviously Christ. And we see that symbol many times in various ways. It's in the baptismal garments, it's sometimes in the candle, to remind us again that this child is baptized into the life of Christ. A fish represents a baptized person. A group of fish represents the community of believers because of the Greek word ichthus for fish, which reminds Christians that Jesus is Son, God, and Savior of all. And three fish, traditionally arranged in a triangle, represent the Trinity, calling to mind Jesus' command to the apostles to go forth and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And so all of that symbolism, all of those words, all of those signs from our baptismal ritual put flesh on that psalm that we had today. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, a prefiguring of the life of baptism, a lifelong walk with the Lord Jesus, which begins for all of us in the waters of baptism. And so with this in mind, I invite Vincent and his family forward to join me at the font.